players play.
The biggest tailgate party in the state is right here.
No, we be tailgating.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Marcus will take, play fake, across, caught, Kyle Pitts, touchdown. And Kyle Pitts has got his second touchdown catch of the year.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think at the end of the day, I just control what I can control. I try to be the best version of myself here for these guys and try to win games. What other people think or those opinions, I have no control over. I have no say in that. So the more that I can just focus on doing my job and being the best I can be for these guys, everything else will take care of itself.
Falcons Radio Network and Marcus Mariota bringing us back in. Hour number two of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery, hanging out with you in the smooth lot here, directly on Northside Drive across from the Home Depot backyard entranceway, right next to the Wade Ford Tailgate setup. Before we get out of here, we'll talk to the man that makes all of this happen. Steve Ewing will join us coming up at 10:40 as we get ready for Bears and Falcons today. Coming up, 11 o'clock will be the pregame show. Harper LaBelle, Chris Goforth, they'll take you to 1 o'clock. Then Toe Meets Leather, Wes and Dave will have the call as Justin Fields comes home to take on the Atlanta Falcons. Let's take a look at the injury report today. The injury report is brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. So the big question that we have, Hugh, is we saw that A.J. Terrell was back at practice and things like that, but we knew that there was not going to be a conversation, confirmation, until probably close to kickoff before we know if he's going to be back or not.
Yes.
Based upon what you saw, heard, your thoughts, you think A.J. Terrell plays today for the Falcons?
I think that's a tough one, because and if he plays, he's going to be limited. I look at it like this. Guys like that of his caliber, you know, fast twitch muscle guys that rely on their speed a lot, I wouldn't take the chance. So if it was me, I probably wouldn't play.
Yeah, I agree. I don't expect to see him probably until next week. He did practice. That's good. That's the first step back. But I agree with you. I don't think we're going to see A.J. Terrell today. And this may not be the game, to be honest with you, Hugh, that they really need A.J. And I say, when I say that, I mean just from the standpoint of this is certainly not Joe Burrow and the Bengals pass rush. This team, the Bears, want to be a run-heavy team. Now, one big injury for the Bears is Khalil Herbert is out today. And, again, he's part of a group of running backs. He's actually a really good player. He's had a really good season for the Chicago Bears. So they are down one of their big weapons in their running game. But Montgomery, Justin Fields, still a pretty stout run team that we're going to see today here.
Yeah, and the thing that I think that you worry about is when you're playing against a guy like Justin Fields, I think that you come into the game and your mindset is to keep him from extending plays and making big plays and things of that nature. If he gets it going in the passing game, then that might be a little bit of an issue for you.
Yeah, and if you look, his passing statistics are very similar to Marcus Mariota's. I mean, they're very, very similar in what they do. The Bears over the last five weeks, 237, 243, 240, 252, and 258. They've run for at least 237 yards five consecutive weeks. That's a drastic number. Like, that's college football. That's not typical NFL number. That's college football number right there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's how they're going to be able to set up everything else. I think we look at the Atlanta Falcons, you want to attack them running the ball because they've been kind of suspect against running the ball.
Right.
But if they get Chase Claypool involved in this offense today, then it really could be a problem for you, because now you're playing a guessing game with a quarterback back there with that kind of caliber and the kind of ability that he has. And he's getting the receiver involved, and he's able to run the ball, then you have a real problem.
So we also got word this week that Jalen Mayfield was at least activated off the IR, and they have 3 weeks to get him ready. He did say when he was asked at the press conference and all that, he said it would be probably at least a couple of weeks before he would be ready to play. I don't know what he brings. I mean, at this point, I mean, again, I have my thoughts about Jalen Mayfield and what he is or whatever like that, but it does tell you that desperate times call for desperate measures, and all of a sudden, oh, look, hey, Jalen Mayfield's ready to be activated. Man, off the IR. Oh, hey.
I just think when you think about offensive linemen and my old Coach Jones, like, man, he got a steering wheel in his back. Driving him all over the place. Boy, it was some guys out there, boy, that they just was just like violated.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Derrick Brown has if Derrick Brown wasn't a rich man before, he'd be a rich man after playing the Falcons offensive line, because that's he's
violated. Hey, you got a steering wheel in your back, son. He's driving you all over the place.
I mean, you know, we had multiples of guys that got pushed around out there.
Oh, my goodness.
So I want to bring this up because I gave you this stat the other day, and I think this is fascinating when you start to look into the metrics and the numbers and things like that. Matt Ryan last year had 560 pass attempts. 9% of those pass attempts were for 20 yards or more. And I asked you this question this week about, do you think Marcus Mariota has thrown a higher or lower percentage of passes over 20? I know you know now because I gave you the answer to it. But I think most people would not realize that Marcus Mariota, for his 231 dropbacks, I believe, has had 16.5% of his attempts over 20 yards this year.
And you know what's funny? Like, we all know that. We can get stats and say whatever we want them to say. But when you're not throwing the ball as much and you're being efficient when you do throw the football.
Okay, he's 10 for 38 over 20 yards, Hugh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's 26.5% completion percentage.
No, but I'm saying that, but you think about with Matt Ryan and something like that, we're talking about throwing the ball like 30 or 40 times a game.
Right.
Easily. Right. Because this is a passing league. But like I've always said, when we got Marcus Mariota, Coach Smith knows who he is, and he's going to try his damnedest every Sunday not to put him in situations that are gonna be, you know, not beneficial for him. I mean, and when you look at the NFL, that's
why. Okay. Have they done a good enough job of not putting him in harm's way?
I think there have been times where the situation has called for him to throw the ball more, and he just has not been that guy. But for the most part, yes, I think they have, because they started out the season, you know, heavy run game, you know, throwing the ball in certain situations, you know, that are pass-friendly downs. But then when you get behind the chains, see, the problem that we get into is when we get behind the chains.
Yes.
We get into a game where, you know, we have to go tit for tat with somebody. We're not built for that.
Well,
the game that comes to mind immediately is the San Diego game. Well, the L.A. Chargers game.
Yes.
You know, because they were throwing the ball all around the
You can call yard. Him San Diego. I'll let you call him San Diego on this show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Look, I go back to certain things about, not about whether or not we're going to change quarterbacks, but putting Mariota in the situations that benefit him most. Again, we even set this to like hip hop music on my show. Short, quick route, one read, throw.
Yeah.
That's how you have him.
Yeah,
I mean, that you can't feed it downfield. You can't do certain things. I mean, there's a lot of things about – look, again, the stat is 20 pass attempts or less, 3-1 on the season. 21 or more, 1-5 on the season. Those aren't made-up numbers. That's where they're at. They have not won a game, Hugh, where they've run for less than 167 yards. Every victory's been once – they average 179 rushing yards in their victories. They average 138 in their losses. So they run the football no matter what. But – They have to be a high, high caliber run offense.
They do.
And that's hard. This is where I get into this discussion with you, is it's not easy to run for 178 yards a week in the NFL.
It's not.
And everybody knows what you want to do.
Yeah, especially when you got people loading the box and you're still – it's like running up against a brick wall. Something's going to give. And you've seen it for the last couple of weeks. It hasn't really worked out in our favor. We're still running the ball. Because we're not going to win that, Chuck.
No.
Like if we got to throw the ball around the schoolyard and go after you like that, that does not bode well for us. It really doesn't.
What's been interesting, Hugh, is the Bears defense has given up over 200 rushing yards three times this year. They actually have given up the fourth most rushing yards, and I think it's the third or fourth highest yards per attempt. They've also given up the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL this year, but. Listen to this number. The last 2 weeks, Hugh, they've only given up 172 total yards rushing averaging 3.3 and 3.1 yards per carry. So for whatever's gone on the last couple of weeks with the line, or with the Bears, I should say, they've not given up the run.
That's crazy. And you talk about addition by subtraction, because you trade away Roquan Smith, and you trade away, what was the other, Robert Quinn, trade away the defensive lineman, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you think the Bears are in the tank. I mean, they are tanking, but all of a sudden they're playing a lot better. They're playing a lot better. I think it's one of those things. It's just weird how things like that happen when you remove certain players.
And what's interesting is where they didn't give up a ton of passing yards early in the year, the last 3 weeks they've given up 772 passing yards over the last 3 weeks. So they've given – it's almost like we're going to sell out and keep teams from running it at us because we've been so bad, but we'll give up some passing yards along with that. Because they've given up the last 3 weeks, they've given up six touchdowns to only one interception through the air. So teams are now throwing it more against them with success versus they're not running it as well over these last couple of weeks.
But, you know, and this is the thing, Chuck, even though I know we're picked to win this game, this game to me is a little crazy because think about it. We don't really throw the ball that well.
No,
And you would think going into a game like this, already know where I'm going, don't you?
But see, that's my point is, you know, it's Hugh, it's great when everything is going your way. Mm-hmm. But you know as well as I do, in this league, it ain't always going to go your way.
And
you have to be able to change and adapt. We can't afford to change and adapt. We can't because
it's not what we do.
We can't win that way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
We can't win that way.
But if we're gonna win this game today, you have to you gotta try. You gotta throw the ball. I'm thinking in order to win this game today, the stats had to be a little bit different. We got to at least throw at least 35 times. I was about to say 35 to 40, but I say 30 to 35.
Well, you know, Hugh, the last 3 weeks, the Bears have given up the yards per attempt that they've given up the last 3 weeks, 9.3, 10.1, 9.1. That's a huge number in the NFL. That's a lot of yards per attempt that they've given up, but they're giving up less than 4 yards a rush. So it does make you wonder about what the Bears are going to look like defensively today. Do they just come with a flood of guys up front and challenge us to have to push the ball downfield in
yes.
the passing game?
That's what I would do, because you haven't had success doing it. I know you can run the football. I know for a fact you can run the football. It's been documented every week mm-hmm. that you're going to try to run the football.
Right.
You don't want to throw the ball. We've seen that. Even when we played Carolina the second time, Carolina loaded the box. They got after us. And when we threw the ball, we looked inept. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. And so much so that it was a whole week of sit the quarterback down. A whole week of sit the quarterback down.
Well, at least from 5 to 9.
But yeah. Pew, pew.
One thing about Justin Fields, when you look as well for Fields over these last few weeks, obviously, they've run the daylights out of the football. But, Hugh, he's taken 9 sacks. Actually, over the last 4 games, he's taken 13 sacks over the last 4 games. So there are going to be opportunities today. And I am starting to get a little bit concerned about where our pass rush is. I am starting to get a little bit concerned about how good are we at getting to the quarterback. I know the numbers don't tell you. We've given up the most yards in the NFL. We've given up the most passing yards in the NFL. We've given up the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. But I do think in some ways our defense has been better this year than last year. I think there are players. I think Grady's had a better year. Taquan Graham has been better. Our safeties are better. I think there are things to point to. But this is a quarterback who, for all of his running, will take some sacks back there.
Uh-huh.
You can't let him run wild and not give him any negative yardage out of any of when the
game
is
over. Yeah, see, that's the thing that's going to concern me greatly, because he can't throw. like you know, everybody talks about how similar we are. I would say this is the reason why this is where we're different. He can complete long passes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he has a receiver that he's somewhat familiar with, in Chase Claypool, where he can get him the football. Now, if you mess around out there and you're lollygagging trying to stop the run and you give up coverage and everything and you allow Chase Claypool to get behind your secondary, then we got a problem.
this is where you miss A.J. Terrell, is just from the standpoint of they're not necessarily going to throw it a lot against you, but you want to have confidence that the guys I have covered, I can play some one-on-one and some man coverage to let my guys go after Justin Fields and to stay up front.
Yeah.
Without him, you're kind of like,
because see, this is the
thing. I can't put the Carnell Armstrongs of the world on an island out
see,
there.
This is
guys.
The thing, because and you have this is where you have to have awareness of the situation that you're in. When he's back there running around, do not drop coverage. You have to stay in your coverage until he crosses the line. I've seen it plenty of times before where receivers, corners,
yeah,
they see the quarterback running around, they get up there, yep, and they drop the coverage,
yep,
and the first thing you know, he's dropping it right over your head. You can't do that, man. You can't do that.
Hey, coming up during today's game, we got the Ticketmaster Halftime Report brought to you by Ticketmaster, official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. When we get back, we'll get to the keys of the game. Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We're live here on Northside Drive in the smooth lot right next to the Wade Ford Tailgate setup. Hugh Douglas and John Chuck till the top of the hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every touchdown.
Is he in? He's in. Touchdown Atlanta.
Slam dunk.
Bang.
Shot on goal.
Shot from distance. Score.
Home run.
It is gone.
All season. Hear it here.
Even on the weekends.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The pre party for our Falcons.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Justin Fields. He'll keep the ball, and there he goes. Justin, middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake. Running left at the 10, 5, end zone, touchdown. On the biggest play, third down, you could possibly have dialed up.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, he's freakishly athletic, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's gap sound football. You know, you got to make sure it's one job that doesn't get done, and it affects all 11. So, like, you know, we see those big plays, you know, people see highlight tapes. We go into depth and watch the play. Okay, what happened? Okay, it was just one. Maybe this guy got cut out of this gap, or maybe this guy went the wrong way. Just one person could make it turn into that. So that's something we got to, you know, be real conscious on and be really just attention to detail.
Bears Radio Network and Falcons linebacker Michael Walker bringing us back into the Wade Ford Tailgate Show live here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are hanging out here in the smooth lot today right next to the Wade Ford Tailgate setup right here on Northside Drive directly across from the entranceway to the Home Depot backyard. Come on by and say hi. It is a bit breezy and chilly out here this morning. We've got the heater cranked up over here. That hot food's going to taste real good in a little bit here as we take you to the top of the hour. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery hanging out with you. Chris Goforth and Harper LaBelle have got all the pregame action, and then 1 o'clock, toe meets leather. Wes and Dave will have the call. So, Hugh, we've been talking about, obviously, Justin Fields and the fact that he's run for 325 yards over the last couple of games. How do you anticipate the Falcons coming out defensively in this? Is this all about, we know Fields is going to run it, we're playing everything toward that? Or do you still have to kind of balance out? You've talked about, you know, keeping your integrity in your gaps, but also staying in coverage. How do you think you handle a game like this and what the Bears' philosophy is?
I would say if it's me, Chuck, I want Justin Fields to beat me with his arm. I mean, that's what I do not want Justin Fields running around, extending plays. I want to see Justin Fields. If he's going to beat me today, he's going to beat me throwing the football.
Right.
He's not going to beat me on the ground. Because I think when you talk about the success that they've had, it's been a mixture of him throwing the ball and being able to run the ball. I want Justin Fields, whatever he does, to be in the pocket and try to deliver the football down the field. I want to see if he can do that. So that's the way that I would attack Justin Fields. I would not give him a running lane. I would keep gap integrity, and I would get after him on certain downs, but I would keep it. I would keep, like, my rush lanes and stay in coverage and let him just throw the ball down the field. If you're going to beat me with the pass. You're not beat me running the ball.
So against Carolina on the previous Thursday, the number one takeaway was neither line of scrimmage played well. The Falcons' offensive line was banged around all night long. Derek Brown kept picking a different offensive lineman. He beat my guy Lindstrom. He beat Caleb McGarry.
Hey,
he was
your turn.
He was beating Drew Dahlman. He was beating everybody.
Hey.
But the other thing is our defensive line got gashed by Donta Foreman and offensive line.
He was on fire, man. And listen, you go into a game like this, I'm double-teaming Grady because he's our best lineman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm double-teaming him. and then it's a pick 'em with everybody else. The unfortunate position.
You got burned your pant, by the way.
Yeah, you smell them. Yeah, I did. Matter of fact, I did burn.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you're burning your pants. So, yeah. Before we have a brush fire over here, you know. Before you go to Philadelphia, I don't want you to go to Grady Hospital. So.
Yeah, with a burn, big old burn.
But yeah, that's what it is. It's one of those things where you have to figure out which one of those guys are going to take some of that pressure off of Grady Jarrett. Mm-hmm. And all season long, it has not happened. It has not happened all season long. And that's the unfortunate thing about it, is that it's like, we block Grady, we're good. Like, if you go into the game, you can block Grady Jarrett, you got a chance.
How concerned are you about where we are with our pass rush? It's been a very mixed. Do you know we're trending back to what we were last year? By the way,
we don't have those guys, man. We don't have those guys. And I know people talk about, you know, we've had a conversation this week. Well, last week, where we need to go.
This past week, guys were talking about the quarterback every day.
Yeah, but all of a sudden we talk about the quarterback all day. This is the thing that's intriguing about that conversation. We talk about the quarterback all day long, but we want to go in the draft next year and get a defense. We want to go draft defense. Dude, a quarterback is what makes this league go.
Sure.
We need a quarterback. And if we don't go out, if we're not in position to draft one, Chuck, then we have to go in free agency and find one. And the only one to me that makes sense in this situation is Lamar Jackson. The one if he's potentially out there. But I say all that to say this.
Okay, there's a better chance I'll play quarterback for the Falcons next year than Lamar Jackson.
I know that.
I mean,
but I'm just saying.
Are we playing fantasy football, or what are we doing here?
Chuck,
you know, are we having Chick-fil-A breakfast brought in next week, or what are we doing?
Listen, I'm just saying, Chuck, that's where we are. If we're going to – like, so the reality of the situation is, with that being said, is that Marcus Mariota is probably going to be our quarterback next year.
Very possible. I mean,
let me
put it like this. If we find our way into the playoffs, and this team does not look like a playoff team right now, but if we find our way into the playoffs, he's your quarterback next year.
Yeah, no question about that. Marcus Mariota is going to be a quarterback. Yeah. So if that's the case, then I am all on board with going out and bolstering your defense. And you have to deal – you got to deal with what you deal with your quarterback. Hopefully he plays better. Bottom line.
How concerned are you about the offensive line this week? Look, it was not a very good week for the Falcons' offensive line. This offensive line has played better this year, I can argue with anybody because I got all the numbers and metrics. I will tell you,
no question
about
it.
They have played better, but that was not a very good performance on Thursday.
They've become somewhat one-dimensional. I mean, because they've become. Let me take that back. They're not one-dimensional. They're a little bit predictable because of the handicap that we have at the quarterback spot. It was evident to me during the Cincinnati game when we were down like 21 points in the first quarter that there are certain things that we are not going to do when it comes to Marcus Mariota being the quarterback of this team. We're not – listen, that was the time –
that
during
herb?
That game.
Are you smelling herb?
What the kids call that loud. That might be a little bit of that loud.
Some kind of incense or something that's burning over
there.
Yeah,
that's the word you want to use, incense? That's fine. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Incense. But, yeah, it's one of those things
Potpourri.
If we get behind in the game, bottom line is this, we're going to stay with the game plan. And normally that means we're not throwing the ball a whole lot.
No.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to get outside of what we're trying to do.
Tailgate Show is brought to you by the W Sauce, the official sauce of our tailgate. Bigger, better, bolder. Visit the WSauce.com today to find a retailer near you. Do you think that we come out trying to exploit them in the passing game early in this thing? Or, you know, because this has been the thing about our offense. Are we going to come out throwing it? Are we going to come out running it? You know, I know we're a run-heavy, run-first team. But we also have had some moments here where we've come out and tried to establish the pass for whatever reason. What do you think is going to be the philosophy going into today?
I can see that. A couple rollouts and throwing the ball quick, trying to get a quick hitter.
Try to loosen them up early so you can really get the run game going?
This is the thing with that, though, Chuck. The unfortunate thing about that being the case is that it's never ball dropped here, errant pass there. And then all of a sudden we go back to what we do.
Yeah, it gets to be third and 10, and then you're like, okay, now what do we do?
Yeah, right. it's not sustainable.
Right.
So I would say you would try, you know, initially you would try to attempt to do that. You attempt to do that. And I mean, yeah, you attempt to do
it. Well, you know, these are not two very good defenses, but I, for whatever reason, I don't think that this is a high-scoring game today. Like, it's not too.
No, this will probably be a sprint as far as how much time it's going to take for this game to get done.
Right. I mean, this is like a Greg Maddux start. You know, it could be like an hour and a half or something like that. So I don't anticipate a high-scoring game, which I think helps the Falcons out. I'll tell you this though. I'll tell you the other big key about today is, you know, last week Fields had a pick six that really was the difference point-wise in the game. If he's going to throw it, he's going to give you an opportunity. Just like against P.J. Walker, Falcons dropped at least three or four interceptions. I mean, you know.
But I tell you what, though.
But you got to catch the ball at some point.
Justin Fields, he got armed, though.
I know. But he also had a pick six last week against Jeff Okuda that was the difference in that game last week. Okay. And, again, you score a defensive touchdown in the league since 2000, you win 75% of the time.
True.
My point is you have to be able to create a turnover or two today. You have to find a way to create a couple of turnovers. You can't let Fields run wild, pass wild, and all this stuff. You have to get the ball out of it. You've got to turn the ball over today. And, again, we did some of that early in the year. We've kind of gotten away from sacking the quarterback, turning the football over. We certainly dropped a whole bunch of interceptions last Thursday against the Panthers. You got to capitalize on those things.
Yeah, I mean, and it starts with those guys up front, man. For whatever reason, I don't know, like guys showed a lot of promise getting to the quarterback early on, and then they just kind of fell off, man.
Why has that been a pattern for 2 years now of we can sack the quarterback early in the season, but as it moves along, we have more difficulty?
Because it's hard, Chuck. You got brothers that's tired. They can't get it done. Like, listen, you gotta be wired a little different in order to be able to get after the quarterback like that, man. You gotta love that job description. I look at these guys.
Well, that
man,
gets you paid a lot of money in this league if you can do it though.
Don't it though? It does. But some people don't have that ability. It's like talking about me personally. I remember I used to take great joy because I was always considered not a big lineman, not a big defensive lineman.
Right.
So I would take great joy and beating up on somebody that was bigger than me.
Like Freaky. Oh.
You silly. I would take great joy in beating up on somebody that people say, oh, he's bigger and giving up like 60 pounds. That was that.
Like Freaky? Oh.
That was my game. I loved that. And to get sacks, every time it was third and whatever, and I knew that there was an opportunity for me to get a sack and have that glory and have that one moment on the field where it's just all eyes on me, mm-hmm. I wanted that. It's a different kind of mentality. I'm not saying that these guys don't want that, but it's just that you have to have a knack and an ability to get there. And one thing that I always notice about these young guys, they don't engage. Like in the NFL, you very rarely see guys beat guys like straight up off the corner. You have to engage, man.
Well,
you have to engage.
Unless they're lined up against Caleb McGarry, and then
they run around them. But you very rarely see guys run around people. You got to engage, man. You got to push the pocket. You got to engage the offensive lineman. And most of these guys don't want to do that. They want to try to finesse guys and run around guys and all of this. You can't do that, man. You got to push. Sometimes you got to drop those tackles off in a quarterback's lap.
Well, it is frustrating because this has been a pattern for 2 years now that as the season has moved along, our pass rush has gone away. You think that's anything that they scheme against? Or, I mean, is there anything schematically you can take away? Or is that just want-to and one-on-one
Man, listen,
and all that?
You got five guys. You got five against four. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't change. Grady taking two, sometimes three.
Right.
Everybody else one-on-one.
Right.
Somebody got to win.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, somebody. Like, look, go watch the game today. Grady getting manhandled. They getting all up on this pass. They putting him on skates because there's two or three guys. Somebody got to win their one-on-ones, man.
Yeah. It's that's been one of the frustrating parts today. So should be a fascinating game. I mean, obviously, look, if Justin Fields goes off, that conversation about should we have drafted him is going
to
get ramped up, man.
You know what? Tomorrow, boy, if that young man comes out here and show his donkey today.
Yeah, it'll be more quarterback conversation just about the other team's quarterback.
Yeah,
is what, it
and
will
it's
be.
Not going to be good for us.
Nope. All right, when we get back, we'll talk to the man that makes all of this happen. Steve Ewing is going to join us here as we are live on Northside Drive. We're hanging out with you here in the smooth lot right next to the Wade Ford tailgate setup, directly across from the entranceway to the Home Depot backyard. Come on by, say hi. We're hanging out here to the top of the hour. Then we'll hand it off to Chris Goforth and Harper LaBelle for all the Falcons pregame coverage on the network. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend.
Radio on the weekends.
And neither do we.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
On the weekends, that's all I listen to, really.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekends. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go, go, go!
Time to check in with the big boss man himself.
The man who knows all things cars and Falcons.
The president and CEO of Wade Ford, Steve Ewing.
On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We are hanging out with you here in the smooth lot, right next to the Wade Ford Tailgate setup right Woo-hoo. Here on Northside Drive. Taking you till the top of the hour, we'll hand it off to Falcons Radio Network. Pre-game coverage, Chris Goforth, Harper LaBelle, and then 1 o'clock, toe meets leather, Justin Fields and the Bears here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium today to take on our Falcons. We now talk with the man that makes all of this happen, the president and CEO of Wade Ford.
Steve!
Our guy, Steve Ewing. Thanks for braving the cold, first off, Steve, because it's not exactly the warmest of days out here.
That, and let me tell you, every week, like, this is like the highlight of my week, especially after I look at the trade papers.
Yeah.
And I find out that Ford is offering the 2024 Mustang
yes.
in March.
Is that why my stock has gone up? Because my stock's back up.
Because, see, and that's why I'm sitting here, right, because I'm reading last week. I'm trying to find out. So I got Steve right here, but I'm reading the papers. They're offering the 2024, the new style Mustang, the Dark Horse, the GT500.
Yes.
Them things dropping in March. Steve, is that the truth?
That's the truth. So you can, you can place the orders then.
And Ford is like one of the last of the Mohicans as far as having cars that are still going to have gas-powered cars.
Mm-hmm. We're about horsepower, brother. We're about horsepower. Something I'm looking for today. I'm looking for horsepower.
I'm about stock power. I'm about getting my stock power.
You're a money guy. Listen, let me just say a couple things to you right now, because we're going to talk about cars. Because, listen, Hugh, if anybody doesn't know, Hugh Douglas reads and knows automobiles. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man studies, and that's one of his things he really likes. Other than football, Hugh knows cars.
He also knows
and
how to get,
trucks.
He also knows how to get a couple of them stolen, too.
He does. Let me say this to you. My grandmother used to use a word when I was growing up, and the word was pew. And that's how I feel right now. After watching two Falcon games.
Oh, I thought you meant.
Especially the one Thursday.
I thought you meant
she would
pew.
She would just say pew.
Pew. Like,
and that's how I feel right now. So I'm not going to come on the radio trying to, by any means, put lipstick on a
perfume on a pig.
That's right. I'm
like
not going to do that. Yeah. Okay?
We know where you're coming from.
Where I'm coming from today is that we have nursed this team along up until 2 weeks ago. To think we were something we were not.
Mm-hmm.
And as I sat there frustrated as a Falcon fan, which is who I am today and always, I was very frustrated of what I saw and the display of football that we had on the football field. Everybody I talked to said, hey, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Well, let me tell you what I know. I know that wasn't the standards that Mr. Blank has put on his football team to play.
Right.
And you guys are talking about somebody has to throw the football 35 times? Is that what you think is necessary today?
That's
so,
that guy.
Steve.
That's Pew Douglas.
I mean, you thought he was insane. When I heard it, I'm driving.
He's like, what?
I'm getting here to the game, to the show, and I'm hearing Hugh say 35 times. Look, I saw what 20 looked like.
Yeah.
Okay, and I wasn't impressed. So, all that being said, where do we go? Okay, we got a guy here called Greenfields, as far as I'm concerned. He just keeps running with green. I mean, I'm worried about this man and all the things he can do today to this ball club. But why am I worried? Because I have no reason not to be worried.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dynamic quarterback. It looked like he started coming into his own, Steve. There's no question about that. I think that, like, this is one of those games where you got to kind of pick your poison. I think in order, if I'm the defensive coordinator, if I'm Dean Pease, I'm stopping the run first. I'm making him beat me from the pocket. I'm trying to keep him inside the pocket.
the every time he gets outside and is able to extend plays, that's when he does a lot of damage. So today I'm going to make sure that I keep him inside the pocket and keep him from extending plays and make him try to beat me going throwing the ball down the field.
I would agree. But you talked about Grady and you said, hey, listen, these guys are triple teaming this man.
Yeah.
Because they don't believe any other guys can beat their guy.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, it's somebody that's the reality. I remember one time I was watching a play last week where they were trying to run the ball. They fire off on Grady. Two or three people fire off on Grady. Grady gets blowed up. They just run wherever they want to run because nobody's getting off their block. Nobody else is getting off the block. And they can run wherever they want to run. They see Grady getting double teamed. They see Grady getting double teamed in the pass game. Can't nobody else beat nobody. I mean, listen, if I'm a defensive lineman and I see that and I'm a part of that, I'm embarrassed. I'm mad because I can't beat anybody.
There it is.
But I'm embarrassed. I'm also embarrassed because, I mean, hell, I got a one-on-one all day and I can't beat my man. I can't beat this cat. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
There's the word, embarrassing, okay? I was waiting for something that I could relate to this morning. If let's go back to Wade Ford. If I put 20 customers in front of you on a Saturday morning, and I've got the greatest Ford lineup we've ever had, and at the end of the day at 6 p.m. when we close, I said, how did you do? And the guy says, boss, I'm going to do better tomorrow. We didn't get it done today.
Are you kidding me?
You know what that's called? Pew. Failure and embarrassment, okay? And that person probably won't be on the team on Monday. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is that was our decision. So you're talking about this quarterback, and we're talking about the future. Right now is what we have. Hugh says, hey, we should go out and get another incredible quarterback through free agency. You said that sounds like I Dream a Genie.
Right, it is, okay? Yeah.
That's what you said.
Because
exactly.
They have these things called franchise tags that can keep a player on a team.
I don't think they're going to franchise tag him, though, Chuck.
They're going to sign him or franchise him. You're not letting him walk away from your franchise.
But this is the thing. You should have signed him before the season started.
Okay, but if and buts for candy and nuts would be a senior
world.
Right,
okay. Right.
All right, I get that. But, see, I had some insight, right? And I asked that question to Rich McKay when we were out in Cincinnati, and I said, hey, man, that's where we need to be. And he said, yeah, that would be a great thing, but that's highly impossible, Steve, and highly unlikely. Now, anything can happen in this league, and you're the person that says that to me all the time, Chuck. But I'm saying to you right now, from my standpoint, today is a pride day.
Oh, I agree.
The pride I'm talking about, because I'm not against any pride, but this pride I'm about is showing pride on that football field. And showing that you have some sense that, hey, listen, I get paid a lot of money to come out here as a pro to get my job done. We're going to sit here in front of these fans who want to see their football team perform. That's what they're coming here for. X's and O's, we're planning on the playoffs and all these different things don't matter to me. I got some Bears fans right here in front of me, and I appreciate you guys. But listen, I'm not looking for you to leave here smiling. I'm looking for you to leave here upset. Okay? Because right now, y'all are grinning.
They came deep today.
They're grinning with cups
frozen
in their
tears
head.
On the eyes is what we want.
Yeah. So listen, they're from Chicago. We better be careful. But listen, all I'm saying is this. We got to win this game, and the only way we're going to win this game is with pride today and people doing their job. That's what I'm coming. By the way, if I haven't said it, let's say it. We should all be excited. You guys should go on Instagram and all the other places for Hugh Douglas. He's being inducted into the Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Fame, and we're so proud to be standing next to you, brother.
Appreciate
all the things you do.
Appreciate you.
Listen, this man played football the way it should have been, with pride. And he played it. He said he wasn't a big. I'm standing here next to him, and I know this guy's bigger.
Hey.
But when you got heart, it doesn't matter.
Can I say something, Steve,
since
we got the Chicago Bears fans here? Yeah. I remember that one time in 2002, we sent them Bears home. Remember that quarterback? What was that quarterback name? Jim Miller.
Yeah.
When I dislocated Jim Miller's collarbone.
I like that.
Sent the Chicago Bears off.
Have
you ever seen that hit that he put on Jim Miller?
I love you too, brother.
He took Jim Miller's soul.
We're going to watch that. If you haven't seen that highlight, go on YouTube. Hey.
Yeah, he stole Jim Miller's soul.
He told me I was number one. I said you're number one.
But I will say this to you. The coldest place I've ever been in my life.
Oh, it's shy.
Was an NFC wild card game back with another team. And I went to Chicago. I dressed up real warm. I got out at the hotel, and it was as if I had layers on, and it was as if I was standing there naked.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, it was cold and shy.
It was so
cold and shy
that they're making announcements that if your fingers are numb or you don't feel, there's guys with their shirts off that must have been drinking moonshine or something of that nature. Listen, if you listen to this show, I'm grateful for you. Listen, we only have a few more games left, and all I'm looking for is for this team to play with pride. I'm not using the P word, meaning playoffs. I'm using pride, and that's what I'm looking for.
Well, that's better than pew. So,
well, my grandmother's word was pew, and I've about had it. So, listen, guys, have a great week. I look forward to it. Hugh, we're going to order that truck for you and get you a Mustang. Or get you that Ford
We're going to name it OJ. We're going to name you get
want.
A white Bronco and name him OJ.
Absolutely.
John, thanks so much for all you do.
Thank
guys.
You, Steve. We appreciate you, man.
Let's have a good game. Yeah. Let's win today.
Believe it or not, only three more of these after today. Only three more home games left. So.
And we have a game New Year's Day?
I believe so, yes.
So, listen, that's going to be what we call a red eye.
Yep.
That'll be a red eye game.
All right, we will wrap things up at the Wade Ford Tailgate Show with some predictions up next. Thank you, Steve, as always. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.